you again in the ministry of the Word of God. And I thank God that divine providence has brought us together again, and I certainly am thankful this morning that I can say with the lady who sang, "Hallelujah, what a Savior. He's the only one there is." A man came to me at the close of a conference after I'd spoken, and he looked at me and he said, "Do you come to small places? Would you come to a small place?" I looked him in the eye and I said, "Who am I when the lovely Savior of sinners stopped and went to speak to one soul who happened to be have five husbands and was working on the sixth? And he spoke to her, and she was so amazed. Who am I?" There's the infinite God manifest in the flesh, stooping to speak to one. Beloved, I'm glad you're here this morning. We do like to preach to full audiences, but remember, God is still interested in the individual. The ones and the twos. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And I'd like you to turn with me this morning to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1. I want to deal this morning on the call of God. God's call in the gospel. For Romans 8 verse 29 says, "Whom he called, he justified." And if you're justified, you're born of God. God's call in the gospel, beloved, is necessary if anyone is ever going to be saved. When I speak about conversion, this man was converted. I mean that change that occurs when a person believes the gospel. And he believes that gospel because God has given him a new heart in regenerating grace. This is called in John chapter 3, the new birth. And our Lord Jesus told Nicodemus it was absolutely necessary. But when we speak about the call of God, God's call in the gospel, we're not talking about an invitation or an appeal that's given at the close of a service. You see, we're talking about the call of God that comes through the Word of God and the message of the gospel itself. That's what we're talking about. Proverbs chapter 1. And we begin our reading at verse 20. "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, do ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have set up not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call me upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. In verse 20 through verse 32, we have the general call of God in the gospel that comes to all men. I thank God is another verse in this chapter. For it speaks of that effectual call of God that brings salvation. For we read, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Why did you hearken to God, those of you who are saved? It's a question you must ask yourself. It was because of what God did in drawing you to Himself. Now let us turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, where God says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Let's pray together. O God our Father, this very text calls for repentance and faith on the part of us who hear the gospel. We pray that you be glorified this morning through the preaching of the word, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing we want to consider this morning is the God who most graciously calls us and invites us. Here in Isaiah chapter 1, he says, come now, let us reason together. God, in his sweet revelation to us, has given to us the Word of God, and he expects us to reason out of the Word of God. Now, the first consideration must always be, who is it that called us and invites us? Let me tell you. Psalm 86, verse 15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. What a description of the God who says, come, let's reason together. In other words, as we read in Proverbs chapter 1, the God who created man invites man to come and reason together with him. And in Proverbs 1, he says, turn, you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit unto you. But then he had to say, when I called, no man regarded. The general call of God in the gospel is ignored by everybody. But God has determined to save a people. And in the determination to save a people, there are those he effectually calls in the gospel. Now, it's sad indeed, beloved, when we read in Proverbs 1 that all have refused this gracious invitation of God. Micah 7:18 describes who God is. He says, who is a pardoning God like thee, who pardoneth iniquity? Oh, what a wonderful scene that is in John 4, where our Lord stops at Sychar's well to talk to that woman who had five husbands and was living with a sixth without being married. And our Lord said, give me a drink. What did our Lord really say? He said, I'm willing to drink out of your cup. Well, she marveled. She said, you have nothing to drink from and to draw with. The well's deep. She's talking about Jacob's well. But our Lord told her about another well. And he could say to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to you, give me a drink, you would ask of him. And he would give you living water. She said, that's what I want. That's what I want. But our Lord said to her, don't go so fast. Don't go so fast. You've got to deal with something first. Go call your husband. Oh, she said, I have none. Our Lord said, you had five. And the one you're living with is not your husband. And then she began to talk religion. You remember. She said, you Jews, you say Jerusalem's a place for worship. Our father said, Mount Gerizim is a place. And then our Lord told her about worship. And he said, the Father seeking worshipers. That's the whole essence of salvation, beloved. To change non-worshippers into worshipers. For Romans 1 says that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So, the whole scheme of redemption, beloved, is to change non-worshipping people into worshipers of the true God. So Malachi so graciously says, return unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will return unto you. You see, the general call of God that comes to all men, not merely the voice of man, but the mercy of God that follows and pleads with man. And we can say, like the general who in the Revolutionary War this was found in his pocket after he was executed, Hail Sovereign Love, which first began the scheme to rescue fallen men. Hail matchless greed, eternal grace, which gave my soul a hiding place. Against the God who built the sky, I fought with hands uplifted high. Despised the mention of his grace, too proud to speak, or to seek a hiding place. But thus the eternal counsel ran, Almighty love, arrest that man. I felt the arrows of distress and found I had no hiding place. Now I'm not going to quote the whole thing, but I'm just going to show you that God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, he says, arrest that man, and that man is brought to a hearing the gospel. The Lord opens the ear, for the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord is the maker of them both. God opens his ear, and he hears, and the word of God says, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath something, hath everlasting life. Oh, beloved, the mercy of God follows the call of God. But the doors of heaven are thrown open to the person who hears and believes the gospel. You see, the everlasting doors of glory with a promise of an abundant entrance, as you have in 2 Peter chapter 1, have been opened by the Savior to his mighty work on the cross on Calvary's Hill. God's call is to arise and view with a map of eternal glory. not a map, beloved. It's a gospel of saving grace, the good news which issues in eternal life to all who believe the message. Acts chapter 26, remember when Paul stood before King Agrippa? Paul said to the king, King Agrippa, you believe the prophets, don't you? You see, now if you believe the prophets, then you know something of the glory of the city of God. It's been prophesied. Take a look at Isaiah chapter 35. We don't have time this morning. But all that's promised there concerning the kingdom glory, that's yet to be. And when we think of the city of God, we think of a city of transparent gold, garnished in all manner of precious stones. The map declares, this is for those who hear the call of God. When our Lord was here on earth, Satan offered the Lord Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them if he just fall down and worship him. Our Lord refused, and he went to the cross instead. Think of it. He refused the glory of the world. And all the kingdoms of the earth have to offer. And he went to the cross for me. To be made sin in our place as our substitute. That's what he did. But now the Lord opens for poor sinners, beloved. Not the glory of the earth, but the glory of heaven. And he says to us, it's all yours. If you will just come and follow me, believe the gospel. Come and follow me, it's all yours. The doors of heaven are open. And the gospel, beloved, is the entrance into that blessed kingdom. And the gospel says, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You know, Proverbs chapter 1 says that I was not a whosoever will. I was a whosoever will not. For he called and no man regarded. Oh, I thank God for efficacious grace. That saw me ruined by the fall, and he loved me notwithstanding all, he saved me from my lost estate. His loving kindness, oh, how great. You see, the gospel, beloved, is not only for the future, it's for right now, as we sang this morning, trust and obey. It's blessed now for their unspeakable privileges in this life. At this blessedness of conversion, beloved, it's not fully reserved for the future. Oh, no. God places much in the hands of people who hear, who believe, who turn to Christ in genuine repentance and faith. Well, let me mention a few. Number one, we're redeemed from the dominion of men and Satan. It's a wonderful thing to be delivered from the dominion of men. To be delivered from the dominion of Satan. For he has delivered us, according to Colossians 1 and verse 12, I think it is. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. More than that, we are delivered from this present evil world, according to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4. More than that, adversity cannot separate us from the love of Christ. And more than that, he redeems us from the power of the grave and the king of terrors, death, becomes a servant to the child of God. As I was praying that the Lord would take a certain person home to be with himself, because we knew we couldn't get well with a terminal disease, we saw his failing. We knew his testimony. I was asking God to take him home. And I thought of Lazarus, who sat at the rich man's gate full of sores. The dogs came and licked his sores, but the angels came and carried him home. What an experience death must be, beloved. We have been delivered from the power of the grave, and death becomes a servant to take us into the very presence of God. And more than that, beloved, God bestows upon us who are believers, who have been converted, his own unmistakable prerogatives. He's a friend and a father to us. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to his disciples? Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends, and you're my friends. Oh, to hear him say that to us. And what a blessing. He's not only a friend, but he's a father to us. When we pray, we say, Our Father. Our Father. And he truly is. For in Mary Magdalene, on resurrection morning, he said, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Psalm 84 says, he is a sun and a shield to his own people. Beloved, if a lady marries a prince, she marries one who is wealthy indeed, and she receives all that a prince or a king can give. She doesn't have to worry about access into his presence. It's her husband. She's married to him. Think of what Romans chapter 7, I think it's about the 6th verse says. We became dead to the body of Christ, that we should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we might bring forth fruit unto God. You see, the blessing rests upon us. Our enemies serve us. And God works all things together for our good. Let's think of the terms of God's mercy. The terms of God's mercy are brought as low as possible by the God of heaven. God has stooped to where the sinner is. He has come down. Now, God will not be the author of sin. Never can you say that God is. But God will not stain his holiness either, beloved, to save a sinner. What God does, he does righteously. God righteously saves a sinner. Romans chapter 4. Or chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. That word freely needs to be studied. Being justified freely. You know, that word is translated in John chapter 15. In John 15, it's translated this way. They hated me without a cause. Being justified without a cause. Oh, there was no cause in me. I refused the call of God. I didn't turn say this morning, He turned me. As we sing in that great hymn, the third stanza, 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me, and I follow on charmed to confess the voice divine. You see, there are two things that are necessary that must be done according to the law of God. First, we must fully satisfy the demands of His justice for past offenses. That's what the law demands. Second, that we should perform personally, perfectly, and perpetually the whole law for time to come. Oh, all are failed. You get an F. Failure. But beloved, when I look at the life of Christ and the death of Christ, I find one who perfectly obeyed God's holy law. He could say to the Father, as you read in John 17, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And the invitation of Christ today is receive that work as having been done for you. But you see, we have a problem. Our problem is we prefer to do some great thing for ourselves. Remember the story of Naaman the Syrian? You know, the man of whom he weaned 7 ducks in muddy water? You remember Elisha the prophet sent his servant? Naaman was the general of the Assyrian army. And he came to the home of Elisha because of what a little girl said, a servant girl from Israel in his home. And Elisha sent his messenger and he said, you tell him to stoop 7 times in the Jordan River. You remember what old Naaman said? He said, why, the rivers of Assyria are a lot nicer than the river. This muddy thing. And then his servant said to him, oh, no, if a prophet had bidden you to do something great, you'd do it. But since he just said, go wash and be clean, you don't want to do it. We always have an excuse to have our own way. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. And we have turned everyone to his own way. Oh, we'd sooner do something great in our own eyes, or in the eyes of the world, than simply reason with God. God says, come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, our Lord Jesus didn't turn away that woman with 5 husbands and living with another. He spoke to her about the things that are important. He talked to her about living water. And he'll give if thou knewest the gift of God. And who it is that speaks with you, you'd ask of him, and he would give you living water. You see, God supplies all that a person needs to come. Don't blame God if you don't come. God supplies all you need to come. For it is He who invites. It is He who enables the sinner to come and be clean. So we read the words of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Of yourself, my friend, you can do nothing. But with His spirit enabling, you can come. And we say to you this morning, respond to his invitation. His invitation is, come. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come, let's apply this. Application number one. How serious is it not to come? Suppose I remain stubborn and I don't come. Proverbs chapter 1 says, no man regarded the outstretched arms of God. It only proves the sinner's depravity and his need. How serious is it not to come? There's a Southern Baptist preacher. I have two of his books. Rolf Bernard. He used to lean down over the desk. He was a country preacher. And he could be what we would call maybe a little coarse. He leaned down over the desk and he'd say, if you're not too busy going to hell, listen to me. Because if you've never been saved, that's where you're going. And you're going at a terrific rate. If you're not too busy going to hell, listen to me. Our Lord said something in Matthew chapter 18. I would like you to turn and read it with me. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 8. He says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Here our blessed Lord is using language, beloved, that we should consider in relation to our eternal destiny. How would you like to have your hand chopped off? He said, if it offends you, cut it off. We're dealing with eternal values. Again, let me say what Brother Bernard said. If you're not too busy going to hell, listen to me. God said, come now and let us reason together. He said, if your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. You know, there are a couple words added to this when you read Mark's account. In Mark's account of these verses, Mark adds something. He says, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Application number two. God reasons out of his word. Turn to him today in repentance and faith. Don't be afraid to reason with God. Turn in repentance and faith. We have a wonderful promise. Him that cometh to me, he says, I will in no wise cast out. And to that final church at Laodicea, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Have you ever truly come to Christ? Turn you at my reproof. Come now, the Savior says, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Let's pray. O God our Father, as we bow in thy holy presence, we thank you for two hands, two eyes, two feet, that they don't need to be cut off. We thank you that you'll receive whosoever will come. And we pray, our God, that if there are any here under the sound of the gospel, that they may sweetly turn in repentance and faith to thee, the God of all grace, and will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we should sing a hymn that I recently have come to love. Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. I don't know the number, but we're going to stand and sing the first and the last of this hymn, because God has graciously saved quite a number in this building, maybe all. But you might be here without Christ. And that desire to be saved is there. And to call upon the Lord, while you save others, don't pass me by. Save me! And turn in repentance and faith to the Son of God. What's the number? 235, you'll lead us in the first and last stand.